Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibracki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Pat McGee, top development authority, author, and Microsoft Most Valuable Professional. Pat, you bring a considerable insight and experience to our audience. Considering your impossible schedule, we thank you for doing this interview with us.
Oh, likewise, Stephen. I'm really glad to be here, too, and thank you for having me.
Pat, what triggered your initial interest in computing?
Well, I wasn't actually interested in computing, but when I began my career, I went to a career counselor, and we talked about several interests and ran some personality tests, and computing came out of that as one of the top items. And when I started looking at being able to combine my interest with any field, taking software development and combining it in any sector, and being able to create something from basically nothing with software was a real selling point for me, so that's how I got into it.
So can you profile how you got to your present position in your career?
Oh, sure. I studied software engineering at BCIT, and when I graduated, the first job I had was a teaching assistant position at the kids' camp there, and when that was done, I proposed that we do a C-sharp 2D games course the next year. So I did that. And in the meantime, I got a job working on the Clifford the Big Red Dog video game series. And I then proposed that we do a 3D course for the kids' camps. And that was the first one of its kind for the kids' camps. And I developed another one, and I proposed to do it for the adults. In the meantime, I picked up some courses in web scripting that I would assist with. And I got a job full-time as working with database technologies at Business Objects. And so I continued teaching, and I developed so much material for 3D games programming that I wrote a book on DirectX and C++ programming. And my dad met someone where he works who had a nephew who was working on a book on augmented reality. And so I met this person, and it's actually Stephen Kaywood, and he'd written about hacking the Xbox and hacking Halo, and so we exchanged books, and 3 months later I got a call from him asking if I'd join him on a project to write about this new technology called XNA. So we joined up and did the first book, and that was really successful, and we're now working on a second book for McGraw-Hill. And I've continued teaching and been teaching database technology and games programming, including XNA, and that's led to me actually getting involved as an instructor and curriculum developer for the software system developer option at the British Columbia Institute of Technology. And I actually start there next week in the full-time role, which I'm really, really looking forward to.
So that's kind of a natural segue then into my next question, and that is to describe your upcoming work at BCIT.
Well, it's a web programming option, and very Microsoft-based. ASP.NET, C-sharp programming, and SQL Server technologies. And in January, I'm going to be teaching a database course and then a web application security course. And very excited to be part of that.
Are you going to be using any of the books you've written as part of the course itself?
No, I'm not. Well, I shouldn't say not at all. The XNA is a C-sharp platform, so a lot of the skills that I developed writing that, I'll definitely be applying, and I definitely got a lot of tricks, having programmed a lot with the XNA that I can use in the courses, but not directly.
So you talk about XNA, but our audience may not be familiar with this. So what is it, who uses it, and where, and how do you get it?
Oh, sure, Stephen. XNA is a C-sharp-based platform, and it's from Microsoft. It's an add-on to Visual C-Sharp Express and can also be added on to Visual Studio. And so it's a great freeware tool. You can use it to program games for the PC or the Xbox 360. And it's revolutionary in a way because it's the first one that's really opened up almost free development for the Xbox 360 for a major console. And on this scale, with this much control over how the games render, and coming up soon, we'll actually have the ability to, for independents to create games and sell them on Xbox Live. And that also is a revolution in a sense, too. So we've got this platform, great freeware tools from Microsoft that can be downloaded from Microsoft. It's targeted for students, independent hobbyists, and has really taken the world by storm as far as 3D games libraries are concerned. It's really the number one freeware library out there for hobbyist programmers and independents. And it's really changed the games programming world as we know it for people that are programming from home. So it's really caused a lot of change in recent history. It was introduced in the end of August 2006 and has really gained a lot of ground.
So is there a cost associated with this?
Well, if you're programming for the PC, there's no cost. It's Visual C Sharp Express, which is free, and XNA is an add-on to that. If you're programming for the Xbox, of course you have to have an Xbox, and you have to have a Creators Club membership, and it costs about $49 for 4 months or $99 for a year. So it's really low, and compared to what the development license fees were previously to that for anybody wanting to develop for the Xbox, which are thousands of dollars, this is really an amazing deal.
So based on your experience, if one was sort of had some background in computing but wanted to get into the gaming area, how long do you think it would take them to go from scratch to having some proficiency?
Not long at all. The 2D games especially, it doesn't take a lot of code at all to make a 2D game. And the XNA Creator site has tons of examples. 3D game technology as well is also very simple. And these libraries have been built by thousands of people over millions and millions of hours. So they've really streamlined it and made 3D graphics development very simple. So anyone wanting to get in who might have a little background, all they really need to know are how to write a if-else statement in a for loop and how to create variables and methods, and they're off. Developing with 3D graphics has been made very simple.
So could you profile some key lessons then from the XNA Game Studio Creators Guide, which you co-authored?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Well, we've really taken a whole approach of showing how to make all the standard effects that you'd expect in any 3D game. And we've started showing how to make shapes, create surfaces, how to add image textures, how to create special effects with those images and textures, how to create graphics algorithm routines, in-game routines, things like collision detection, how to load and how to build and load 3D models, how to animate them, how to apply 3D audio. So it's really a complete solution showing how to build the entire game. And that's the approach that I use in the classroom too, showing how to build a complete project and also encouraging the readers or students to take it further and customize it and add to it and make it their own.
Gee, it sounds interesting. It sounds like an old guy like myself, an old timer. Maybe I should take your class.
Well, I actually have quite a range of people in my class. Of course, you get the young 18 to 20 year old male that you would expect in any games course, but I've actually had several people in their 50s take my class. Maybe one or two in their 60s, but mostly the main age brackets between 20 to 30. And you'd certainly be welcome, Stephen. And I know you'd have fun. We have a really fun group in there, and we typically get a lot of gamers in our course, and they always make it quite entertaining for everyone.
Well, you know, you're this famous book author, so what best practices can you share from the other books you've written?
Well, every experience has been a little different. With the first Microsoft XNA Creators Guide, we got quite a bit of recognition, and as a result, Microsoft was very supportive and introduced us to a lot of people, and that's been really helpful for us. So for this round, we've got a world-class technical reviewer, Nick Gravelin. He's a Microsoft MVP for XNA. He really knows his stuff. He's a really big community champion as well, and we're so glad to have him reviewing. And for us, Just having the right reviewers made a huge difference. He's just knows how to read through our chapters and then summarize what we need to change in one small paragraph. So he doesn't give too much, but he just nails it every time. So having that expertise in the technical review, we've really benefited from, and I can see how important that is now that we've got Nick. And that's really going to take our second edition to another level. So that, for us, currently is one thing that we're very glad that we're doing this time around.
What gaming best practices, then, can you share from the courses you're teaching?
Well, the people that do really well are the ones who experiment, who look things up on their own, and they'll take the framework that I provide them, but they'll go out and try things on their own. And one thing, they don't necessarily try to go for the most elegant solution. Sometimes, if they know how to do the crude solution, that's the quickest way to the finish line. And so people are just aren't afraid to put themselves out there and just do it and look it up. That's probably the best skill that any programmer could ever have. So not necessarily having to be the smartest, but just having the drive to get there.
So can you talk further about the suitability of XNA for schools and for encouraging students to learn programming?
Well, I think it's a great technology for schools. We run kids camps from the British Columbia Institute of Technology almost every summer, and the games courses fill up very quickly. And it's because the students want to learn games programming. And we've tried other types of courses, but the games are surefire sellout. And so that's what really motivates them to learn. And so it's exciting for children. They can learn about programming. Even if they don't become games programmers, the skills they learn, applying the logic, they can apply in other industries. So it really is a great, healthy learning tool for young learners. And creating a good 3D game, a good 2D game, probably maybe you need about 150 lines to build an amazing Asteroids game that you could probably turn into any 2D game you'd ever want to play. So right away, you've got a framework that children can use, and with the right step-by-step instructions, you can show them how to change their code. A lot of the students, they may not go further than that, but some of them will, and they'll inspire their peers to go further. So if the course is done right, it can really produce some great results, and for some children it will really allow them to go much further in their careers. And 3D games as well is actually quite simple, and with the right framework, the right set of step-by-step instructions, there can be something for everyone in that course. It's not all about programming, it's about learning about the computer technology behind building the game. Maybe it's 3D models that really drive their interest. I've taught these courses, and some of the young learners, they really, once I show them how to do 3D modeling, they love that, and that's what they focus on for the rest of the course. But for the duration of the course, there's lots of different aspects that can pique their interest, and so I think just giving them something to work with simple instructions will allow them to complete their projects and learn a lot about information technology in general, and I think they can only benefit from that.
It sure seems to beat game programming that I did back in the 70s, where I programmed in machine language. So.
That's amazing. I can't even imagine, Stephen. I don't even know how you would do that.
Yeah, it's tough, and you have to embed all the math routines and write them all, right? So,
it's incredible. I don't see a lot of fun in that, definitely.
So let's explore further some new and recent features surrounding some of the work that you're doing.
You mean for the current book or the current features of XNA?
Yeah, XNA, but Xbox Live, networking, and so on.
Oh, thank you. Okay, sure, yes. We have, XNA has some really great new features. Fairly recently, the XNA team added the ability for network games. So you can play in your Xbox with another player on Xbox remotely. And that is a great library, nice, clean, easy library to implement, and they've got a few different configurations for that. They've also got the beta out for development on the mobile Zune. It's an MP3 player and it's possible and video player, and it's possible to develop 2D games for this now. And I only expect this to continue to grow and develop. But that's exciting to have XNA where you can actually build it on your PC and then deploy it to the Zune device. And Xbox Live, they've just recently announced that they're going to allow people who develop Xbox XNA games to sell these on Xbox Live. And that's really exciting. When it was first launched, there were rumors that they were thinking about letting independent developers sell their games, but they had nothing in place. So now they've committed to this holiday season coming up to release the requirements to sell your games on Xbox Live. And so they have a peer review system right now to make sure that the games are have suitable content for everyone and that they're suitable quality, but it looks like it's quite open for anybody who wants to make a game to try and sell it through Microsoft on Xbox Live, and that's really exciting. And so I think this is really going to drive game innovation. We're going to see a lot of small game developers and independents driving innovation, a lot of people with great ideas out there. And I think it's going to change the way games are made to some degree, and I think a lot of the big companies are going to be paying attention to what a lot of the smaller developers are doing with XNA.
I guess what it does is it opens up the development to millions rather than just thousands.
It definitely does. It's really exciting, and the libraries, as you point out, you're doing it in assembly. They're getting easier and easier to use. Even in high schools, we're seeing young learners learning tools like 3D Studio Max. More and more colleges and universities and high schools are teaching games programming. This is becoming more and more mainstream, and as computers get faster and faster and the graphics cards can handle more, it just makes sense to have more 3D technology and graphics technology. So it's becoming increasingly important to know how to create and develop graphics. And with all this momentum, I think it is very exciting. We're going to see a lot of interesting innovations come out of that as people learn and understand how to develop games and technologies around it.
Well, as I was mentioning, I actually hand-coded machine language. I didn't even use assembler.
Wow.
Yeah, that was tough because you're dealing with registers, right, and things like that. So
I can see some excitement in that, but for the most people wouldn't probably find that too exciting. It'd be a hard sell.
So, you're this real expert on XNA, and we're very fortunate to have you online here in this interview. So what are some little-known tips involving XNA?
Well, XNA specifically, a 2D game, when you download Visual C Sharp and then you add in the XNA add-on, which is free, you can use these template wizards to generate your 2D games or to generate a game project. And those lines of code are enough to generate a shell for a 2D game. And that's only about 25 lines of code, or probably even less than that. When you take all the curly brackets and the comments and everything, it's probably about 25 instructions that you need. So it's actually very simple to get the window that you need and to have all the threading and everything. It's done internally, so you don't have to worry about that. The window that you have that updates itself, it's all pre-built for you, and that's about 25 lines of code. So right away, your framework is very simple. To build a 3D game, you probably only need about 150 lines of code or less. So as well, to have your 3D camera that you can use to manipulate, travel through your world, view it any way you want, very little code. So the time you need to invest in understand that is pretty minimal. After a couple of days of looking at it, you can probably get a good understanding of how it's working. In general, 3D graphics are easy to program, and the main area of math that you can benefit from knowing is linear algebra, which is not hard. It's mostly addition and multiplication and volume, but it's certainly not as tough as calculus or advanced math. And a common misperception of 3D games programming is that you need to know calculus, and you really don't. If you're developing physics algorithms, then sure, you can benefit from knowing more complex math routines. But even professional game companies, even giant game development companies will have baked their physics. So if the simulation looks realistic, they'll implement it. And I was quite surprised to hear of some game giants that do this on a regular basis. But it makes sense. If you have an efficient algorithm that looks real, that's all you need. Another interesting fact, which I always enjoy telling, is the 3D world, everything from planets to people, is really just made up of a bunch of triangles, and that's it. So our world in 3D is made from triangles.
So where is gaming heading then in 3, 5, and maybe 10 years?
Well, I don't know about an actual timeline for any of this, but we're seeing a lot of changes happening. We're seeing computers getting faster, being able to do more, and a growing community of people, thanks to XNA and other technologies, where they're understanding how to develop this technology. So we're seeing more advertising in games. We've seen the Wii. I'd like to think that more consoles are going to pick that kind of technology up, where you can have athletics integrated into your games. We're seeing resort companies who are hiring teams to build 3D models of their resorts, so you can tour them virtually before deciding whether you're going to go there. LA as well, Los Angeles, they have, I believe, Google Maps. I'm not exactly certain, but I talked to someone who develops 3D models for high-rises in Los Angeles and has gone out and got companies to have teams come in and model their buildings. So any prospective person who might be interested in that property can look at it from a 3D perspective. I know a developer who developed a model of the respiratory system internally for a museum, and so you could travel through somebody's lungs virtually using 3D technology. So we're seeing a lot of side technologies come out of that. We're also seeing a convergence of animation and 3D programming, where it's sometimes very hard to tell the difference between what was programmed and what is actually animated by a professional animator. And the 3D models are certainly getting more and more realistic. And I'm always amazed whenever I go into Future Shop and see some of these games on screen. I can't tell if they're programmed or if they're animations that I'm looking at. It's quite amazing. So more and more realistic graphics and innovations coming out of it.
You know, I find this really interesting. I read a statistic that in North America, I guess the gaming industry is something like, what, $18, $19 billion, while the movie industry is about $8 to $9 billion. So gaming is just bigger than the movie industry. And then worldwide, there's even these e-sports federations, which may even supplant traditional sports. I understand that the audiences now are bigger than traditional sports in countries like Korea.
I've heard things like that, too, and I'm astonished. You know, I hope that people keep sports in their lives as a priority, but it's also fascinating to see just the world gravitating towards virtual reality, and it definitely has a place, and I think it's an exciting time, definitely.
You know, the industry is changing, and so what advice would you give to IT professionals to stay on top of, you know, of what is happening in the industry in order to position themselves from a career standpoint and to, you know, gain some benefit from these trends, not only for themselves but for their organization?
Well, I think the most important thing is to follow your passion and to follow the technologies that interest you the most, because I really believe with consistent effort, you can find a niche to do the things that you love. And, I don't really have much more to say than that, but it's just impossible to keep on top of all the changes and effects on XNA. XNA's or games program in general. Xne's website is just phenomenal in terms of the number of effects that they cover and the volume of information and resources, and it's certainly I cannot keep up with all of it. For me, my interest has been to create a complete guide to show how to build a 3D games, and that's what I focused on. So I guess anybody interested in this industry really needs to focus on what interests them the most and to focus on it. And with over time, as they gain experience, they'll find a way to take a lead. And so my recommendation is to stick with it and follow the things that that interest you the most. And I'm sure you can get there with applied effort.
In your current role, then, what are the biggest challenges and their solutions, and how does this relate to business?
Well, for me, it's I'm always interested in making a complete, for education at least, a complete course or a complete package showing how to build a full game. And with the web programming option that I'm now involved with, too, for me, it's about being able to create complete solutions that are good foundations for anybody to start with, and challenging people to take those further and adding to them and developing into a framework that they can use on their own and take control of whatever technology they're using. So for me, it's a complete education package to show how to make the foundation. I think it just goes back to the previous question, finding what's important to you and pursuing it. And so that's how I've approached it for myself.
You have this really interesting career, and you're involved in a really exciting part of the industry, which is rapidly growing. You must meet some interesting people, or you must hear some stories involving your students. Can you share some of them?
Oh, sure, I'd love to. I get some pretty interesting gamers in my class, and they're always entertaining, and I think my classes are much more fun than most people's classes because I've got just great people in them, and so that's always a lot of fun. I had one student who used to work for Electronic Arts and worked on Need for Speed, and was telling me that he actually every year they try to get the latest model cars from all the automakers. So a lot of work goes into finding out what the latest product line is for each of the automakers, and there's legal considerations and copyright considerations, and it's actually quite a political process, and they've actually had automakers from different companies both arguing with Electronic Arts that their cars should be the fastest on the track, and one automaker actually a few years ago pulled their cars right before the game launch and said that Electronic Arts couldn't use their cars because they wouldn't go fast enough. Last year we had a dev teach in Vancouver, and Sean Hargreaves, he's the XNA platform developer, he came up, and so did Andy Dunn, also known as the Z-Man from the Z-Buffer, were up. And so it was a real privilege to have them up here. And Andy's quite a charismatic and fun individual, and that was fun to meet him. And I'm always amazed at how well Sean is able to explain things. And he's a genius to develop this platform, and also able to explain it in simple terms that everybody like myself can understand. So it's always a treat to talk to those two. Sean was talking about earlier in his career, he developed a racing game, and it was very popular. It was a pioneer, and I can't remember the name right now, but he was talking about network bandwidth at the time, and he's giving an example of this game that he developed, and he's talking about the need to conserve packets that you send back and forth. So you really need to make sure that whatever you send is valuable information to make sure that you don't overload the network when you're passing data back and forth. So there was two streams of followers that followed this game that he made. He was making it in the UK, but it was international. And one group was really fixed on getting a good race out of this game and following how to improve their skills with this game. And there was another group of hooligans, and they do things like drive around the track backwards and push pylons onto the track to cause these crazy crashes. And they both had their separate forums. So the developer team, they never thought to pass the pylon data through the network. So what was happening is the hooligans would get on the track, and they'd drive their cars to push the pylons onto the track. And what they would see is these cars would drive over the pylons, swerve out the track, and have these horrific accidents. And then they get on the forum, they talk about all these accidents and have discussions on them and how great they were. And nobody ever figured out that actually the pylon data wasn't getting passed. So the people that were driving the cars never actually crashed. They would continue with the race and finish. And nobody ever figured that out. That's one of my favorite stories.
You know, again, considering your position, are you able to provide predictions on what you see as future trends and their implications and opportunities?
Well, I don't know exactly, of course, but I think we'll see a lot of innovations come out of platforms like XNA, where the independent developer is going to see their own ideas come to life. And so we'll see a lot of really fun, good, small games, which definitely have a place, come out of this. And I think there's always going to be room for the big companies, too, who are going to have a payroll of artists and developers on their teams, pushing the boundaries of performance and art in games. So I think they'll definitely coexist, but I think we're going to benefit more by having more variety with platforms like XNA.
You're this oracle of gaming, highly respected. You have throngs of students and others who just really admire the passion and all the sort of giving that you've done, the contribution you made in this area. So now looking at this oracle, what are your top recommended resources and why?
Well, you're very generous, Stephen. I definitely have the passion. I'll agree with that. As far as resources go, I would definitely recommend the XNA Creators Club site. So if you do a search on XNA Creators Club, you'll find it. And that's Microsoft's site for it. And I've never seen the developer site for any technology that is so complete. It not only has tutorials, it has videos, which is kind of a standard these days, but it's got code download, it's got great forums, just information on what the developers are doing, and a great team of MVP-supported MVPs who support it. And so I really think that's a great center to go to. Some other outstanding people that are involved, Michael from Ziggyware just does a great job on his site. So the Ziggyware site is really good. Sean Hargreaves' blog is good. Sean is the platform developer who took over XNA and from Tom Miller. And his site is just excellent. Great explanations of somewhat complex topics. He seems to know how to break it down so common people like myself can understand it. And I've always found that helpful. I'm surprised at how many posts I end up at his site for. And Nick Gravelin as well. He's the person who's reviewing our book. Amazing individual, like thousands and thousands of posts. So those are some of the people that I definitely recommend checking out their blogs.
I'm just interested. Did you mention George or?
Oh, George Klingerman. Yes. Thank you. I'm glad you asked. Yeah, George is a great community person too. He's got a lot of great contributions out there too. So his site is good as well. And Andy Dunn, Z-Man, Z-Buffer, lots of fun. And he's one who's really brought the community together as well, just with his personality. So I great work from all of these people.
Well, Pat, we're at the last question in this interview, and I kind of sort of toss it in your corner. And you have this amazing brain and amazing wisdom and insight and experience. So I want you to provide commentary on any topics of your choosing.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Again, very generous. I'll agree with the passion as far as my passion for this. Commentary, I think it's a great, XNA is a great, great platform for schools. If I was going to choose a games programming platform for a school or a college or university, I would choose XNA. It's free. It's got incredible support from Microsoft. If you're thinking of teaching one of these courses, get in touch with the people at Microsoft. They can point you to lots of resources to support you on this. And you've got a great suite of products that you can use to develop the games. Games program is a lot easier than you think, and it's becoming increasingly important. More and more applications are going to use advanced graphics, and so elements of XNA and 3D graphics libraries are finding their way into other types of applications, and students can only gain from knowing how to apply the logic that they use in a game to adapting that to really any technology. So I really think this is a way to captivate students and encourage them to learn about IT, and I think they'll be better off for it. So that's one thing that I think that XNA offers that is really important and should be highlighted.
So in your classes, can you give me a sense of males versus females, and are you seeing sort of more interest on the female side?
Yeah, it is mostly males. Yeah, the ratio is quite high, and that's unfortunate. I've had some amazing female coders in my class. So one who actually worked at Electronic Arts, and I think she's a much better coder than I will ever be, and another woman as well who took my course and was very smart technically and ended up in Edmonton working for a major games company, and I'm sure she's doing a great job, and she also had a really good artistic sense as well, and I unfortunately do not get as many women in my classes, but I imagine that's going to change over time as graphics becomes more mainstream.
You know, we have these Ignite IT Code Awards or MSDN Code Awards, et cetera. Is it something that, you know, maybe you'd be offering here, some sort of code awards in the gaming area?
Well, I think that would, I'd like to explore it more, definitely. I've seen, I'd say every, a couple times each year, I'll see someone who's just absolutely outstanding in their ability and what they can bring, and I always find it rewarding to see these people get recognized.
Well, Pat, it comes to the end of the interview, so we will continue to follow your significant and magnificent contributions here and elsewhere, and we really do appreciate you coming in, sharing your time and wisdom with our audience.
Well, you've been very generous, Stephen, and you've made a real difference out there, too, and I'm really glad to be included in your show. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you again, and take care.
All right, you too, Stephen.